Nice work there from Nick Quinn. Let's talk to one of the greats of modern football in the last 17 years, in fact. Talk about the AFL football. It's hard to have a conversation without finding a way to get Heath Jaw into it. Former Magpie and Giant, 325 games in 17 years. A premiership player, of course, in 2010. A two-time All-Australian amongst a host of accolades through his career. And he's been good enough to join us on The Breakfast Club. Good morning, Heath.
Good morning, boys. Thanks for having me on.
Not a problem, buddy. What's the afterlife like for you?
It's fairly low key, mate. I promised myself after I finished footy, a few mates of mine who have previously retired put on a bit of weight. So I said, if I'm going to go out and have a few drinks, I'll make sure I go for a run the next day. So I've been doing a fair bit of running. So. trying to stay in reasonable shape.
How long do you give yourself with that system you're running?
It is getting harder and harder. Go for a run, mate. I must admit, it was 40 degrees yesterday, so there was no chance that was happening yesterday. But I'm in reasonable shape. I've been playing a few games of cricket, just T20 games as well. So I keep myself busy, but nothing too serious.
So before we continue this conversation any further, Heath, is it definitely done, gone, finished, or is there still some light? Where do you exactly stand?
The conversation at the end of the year with Leon and Jason McCartney, it was around the fact that was I going to retire or did I want to keep playing? And my theory in my head was, sort of thinking about it for a while, I wanted to keep playing. I wanted to keep playing at the Giants, and the sort of thought process before that was like I did have a bit left in the tank. Thought I performed pretty well this year, didn't embarrass myself too much, and I wanted to help get the team back to where I thought we should be, which is playing finals. So in my head, my thought process was I wanted to play again, but I wanted to play again at the Giants. And I think I said in an article over the weekend, playing at a third club wasn't really something that I sort of looked at. It was more along the lines of, playing again for the Giants, but that didn't pan out too well. You need both parties to agree on that before that happens. And so, just sort of fly it off into the wilderness a little bit.
Well, I was playing golf with your uncle the other day, Uncle Tone, and he's sick to death of you having all the records now, so you can just about stop anyway. You're no top dog that he reckons these days. He's had enough.
Yeah, it took me a while to get there. There was a fair few moments where I didn't think I'd get anywhere near it, but to play the 300 game was one of the best weeks I had in football, because of that game and the way that panned out, and then to go past Tony this year was well worth playing that extra year, and even throughout COVID year, it was still good to tick over at 314 and get past Tony and take the mantle at the head of the family.
I want to know, Heath, how many runs you've had to go on, because you said you're going for a run after every little session with the boys. How many runs have you had to go on then over the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, there's been a few. It's funny when you're sort of like, obviously I'm a Melbourne boy, but I've been in Sydney for 7 years now, and I wanted to get around to as many people as I could to catch up with them, have a beer or catch up, just like anyone over there, any of my time here, go to Melbourne for Christmas. And yeah, there's been a few lunches and dinners, and usually that ends a few years. I've been doing a fair bit of running, but it's been great catching up with people and telling old war stories and having a bit of a laugh.
So, if football's not on the horizon, what happens next? What does life look like for Heath Shaw moving forward?
The plan was to go overseas and spend a bit of time overseas when retirement came about, but I don't think I'll be doing that. The only overseas I'll be doing is probably going to Tasmania. At the moment, I'm probably going to have to catch up with my old mate, Swanee, and get an idea of what a gap year looks like. I want to definitely take a year off and just sort of sit back and relax and, like I said, enjoy some family time and catch up with all those people that I've missed out on the last sort of 7 years I've been up at the Giants. And no solid plans as yet I think I've deserved a year off after playing AFL footy for 17 years. So for me, the plan is no plan, and I'll have to get some advice from Swan on how to do that, because I think he's into the fifth year or sixth year of his gap year, so he's doing pretty well.
hey, when you look back on your career, take out the premiership, what are you most proud of? Because you've done a lot, and as you said, over a long period of time. But is there anything that kind of stands out that might be a bit different to what we think?
I suppose there's a couple of things. Takeaway, the premiership, it was, I think, like I said before, my 300th game week, that was like amazing. The way the club sort of each day we had, or each meeting, there was sort of a little bit of a snippet of people acknowledging my 300th, and just to build up to that. And it was actually one of two times where I've had a beer in the change room. My one request from the club was to have beers in the change rooms after the game. We just all sort of sat around, had a few beers, and just enjoyed what was a great game, and just sort of looked back, and that was great. And then I suppose the other one is a bit more general, is just coming up to the Giants and being able to help, in a way, create history week in, week out with a brand new club, building them up to a team that played four finals in a row and played off in a grand final, and just helping teach and develop young kids throughout that journey, which I never really did when I was at Collingwood, because I was more of the young kid who was a bit of a rat bag. Had to sort of be thrust into that leadership role and the older statesman, and then have to develop my sort of teaching and learning skills around that, and help improve a team that was just starting off on their journey. So those two things are probably the best things that have happened throughout my career. And then I suppose everyone says that, all the friendships you make along the way. And football is an amazing thing, because whether you play one game with someone or you play 100 games with someone or a premiership with someone, you still remember those faces. And if you walk past them in the street, you definitely say hello.
Heath, do you think that we overrate the Giants or mark them too harshly? I mean, I think for a while now they were seen as the super team with all the high-end draft picks and all that sort of thing. But looking back on it now, do we just judge them too harshly, or how do you see that sort of conversation that's had all the time?
Yeah, I think early days it was the draft picks and the potential, and then when that potential became real and the team actually became into an AFL football team that was successful, it's the marking, like you're saying, being marked a bit harder was obvious. And to be honest, it got a little bit boring, because if we're winning, it's because of the talent. If we lose, it's because we're a fake club. So it was always the token line. And to be honest, up in Sydney, you don't get as much of the obviously the AFL media as you would down in Melbourne. But as the club and the players in the club worked very hard to get where they were. They might have been given the draft picks, but you still got to work hard to win games of football and become a successful football club. And obviously this year was a little bit disappointing, the way it panned out and the performances that were. I doubt that that will bounce back and get back up to where they need to be, which is playing finals and being consistent in that, and that's something that we won't this year.
Hey, Heath, you played footy with great personality. You said, you talk about being a rat bag before. I like to call it personality. You're a very popular teammate. You know, people like to engage with you from a media perspective as well, because of the way you carry yourself. And you were able to do that all the way through your career. And there's been a conversation in recent years of players that are becoming robots and scared to be themselves and all that. And that might affect the way that footy's played and the way that they carry themselves around the footy club. What's your take on that? Is it becoming a bit robotic? And is there room for a bit more colour and life than perhaps we're seeing? Or do we not see that because it happens behind closed doors?
Yeah, it definitely happens behind closed doors. Locker room is a very interesting place, the best of days. The characters are there. There's no doubt about that. And some people, I think, you're sort of trained to play it down more so than anything. And some people find it hard to play it down, like myself. It's a lot more hard work on the company than on myself, and just just being natural and just being normal. Sometimes that got me in trouble and sometimes it didn't, but at least I know that, like, I was sort of true to myself and my character. And I said to a lot of people over the journey, it's sort of like I've, with supporters, whether it's my supporters or opposition supporters, you either love me or you hate me, but at least you know where you stand. And more than comfortable, more than comfortable with that. There's not much grey area there, but that's sort of who I am. That's what I've grown up like, and that's what I was like when I was a 10-year-old kid kicking the footy around at Diamond Creek up till a 35-year-old playing AFL level. So for me, I'm very comfortable in my own skin and very comfortable putting myself out there a little bit more in the media. Some guys aren't and some guys don't like that, and it's sort of like each to your own. But you're sort of damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. Sometimes if you do have a bit of a personality, you get criticised, and if you toe the company line, you get criticised. So there's a very fine line.
And as before, let you go. It's been great to have a chat to you about your career and what's happening. Has what's happened to Reece given you some perspective about the bigger picture of what it is to be a person in footy, and sometimes the fact that it can be a bit more all consuming?
Oh, definitely. I suppose that was sort of being a head coach, especially, and how difficult and how analysed they are, and each week performance and the work that they have to put in to get 45 guys on a list peaking each week and motivated each week. It is a tough gig, and we've seen that. And it's like I've obviously had a few coaches in my time, a lot of different ones, and it's just a tough gig. And I think Reece did what was best for him, and he just put his hand up and said that this is probably not where he wants to be and not the way he wants to be. He'll admit he sort of changed as a person. He became, like you said, all consumed in the footballing life and being an AFL coach. And he definitely won't be lost to the game of AFL football. I can see him coming back in some form in the not too distant future. But for now, he's going to take some time away, spend some time with his little brother. I think we might even go on a few runs together. But it is tough. And a couple of weeks after the season finished and after the Giants delisted me, I went around to Leon's house and sat there and had dinner and a few reds. And you sort of like that's the human part of it, and that's the non coach part of it, where Leon is the one who got me the Giants, and we've been good mates from word go. We've butted heads throughout the journey, but he's still a great guy. And you see Leon away from the footy club, and then you see him at the footy club, and there is a difference there, and sometimes it can be hard to find the line where it stops. So I think AFL clubs and I think the AFL community need to get better at supporting senior coaches and even in general.
Yeah, it's a big conversation, that one, at the moment, from the Coaches Association and the AFL. I know there's a fair bit going on in that regard, but it's nice to hear that you're hanging out with him. And